not exactly a wait for him kind of girl. I guess we're just going on as usual, and if something happens, it happens. Brad looks shocked for a moment, his mouth hanging open. Then he bursts out into laughter, bending to put his hands on his knees as the tremors of laughter shake his whole body. Through his fits, I can barely make him out, his voice dripping with sarcasm. Wait for him. If something happens, it happens. I slap his shoulder, not amused. Quit laughing. This is serious. Brad tries to reel it in, taking some big breaths, but his shoulders are still bouncing with suppressed laughter. Okay, so serious. Got it. Let's get one thing straight. You are not some sit-around Susie who's gonna wait for him to ask you out on a dinner and movie date. You're a shot caller. You get shit done on your terms. Yeah, so you've picked a fucking vertical uphill battle this time, but that's on your heart. And your nether regions. The pussy wants what the pussy wants, I guess. I grin. Brad's right. After all, I went after what I wanted last time, too. Now that Evan's had a taste, I bet he's already thinking about wanting another round, even if his damaged side says he can't. This is why you're my best friend, Brad. And if you ever repeat that, I'll tell everyone your manscaping secrets. Meow. Retract those claws. I've got you, babe. He stops laughing, his face going serious again. But listen, I know you're a big girl and can handle your own shit, but if anything like the deal with the car happens again, tell me so I can have your back. And if there's no future with Evan, just watch yourself and don't let it go too far. Shit can get too deep quickly if you're not careful. I nod and give Brad a hug. I promise. Don't worry, Evan made me promise the same thing. Oh, really? Brad asks, hugging me back as he looks over my shoulder across the street. Maybe Mr. Bad Boy Biker has some redeeming qualities besides a nice ass. And a big wrench, Brad growls. Bitch, don't make me choke you. How do you know I wouldn't like that? In a fake, sultry voice, I moan out, choke me, daddy. Brad shakes his head, the horrified laugh barely held back. This is why I date men. Women are weird as fuck. He walks back to his station, and I hear him mumbling about pirate porn and near-death experiences just to get off. Not able to resist one more twist of the knot in his knickers, I sing-song after him. Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Chapter 16. Evan. I'm staring upward. My shoulders aching and sweat trickling down my spine, face and arms reaching deep into an engine when I hear my brother mutter, "Oh shit," under his breath. I'm still fucking with Fast Eddie's Mustang, currently working on pulling his transmission so I can tweak his gear ratios. Eddie wants to shave a tenth of a second off his quarter mile time next month and is willing to pay for it. Beats doing oil changes on Corollas any day of the week. My voice echoes in the metal around me as I set my tools aside. I'm glad he didn't slap the hood like he sometimes does. I'd have cut myself up pretty bad if he did. What's wrong? TJ's voice has a note of wonder and a note of amusement as he replies. You'll see. You just need to get straight right the fuck now. Incoming. Coming in fucking hot. Wiping my hands on my work jeans, I turn from the lift to look at TJ, wondering what the hell's gotten into his head. I see him staring out the bay door and follow his sightline. I'll be damned. Coming in fucking hot is right. Michaela is strutting across the street, obviously beelining right for the garage with steel in her eyes, carrying a white box. I drink her in, my eyes taking in every detail from her curled hair and long lashes, to her halter-style top that pushes her tits out on display. to her high-waisted shorts that stop high on the long tanned lengths of her legs, down to the little lacy socks and platform heels she's wearing. I feel my pants get tighter around my thickening cock, and reach down to adjust myself without even thinking about it. It's only after I do that I realize that I've probably left a huge grease stain on the crotch of my jeans. Busted. Michaela doesn't miss a thing, her eyes tracking my hand with a little smirk of victory. Walking into the garage, she stops and gives us both a megawatt smile, not quite showing off her figure, but still making herself the sexiest thing to walk through the bay doors since, well, since the last time she was in here.
Hey, TJ. Evan?
She says my name like it's got a couple of extra syllables, and even I hear the huskiness. And my cock responds, standing even taller as I remember her moaning my name on the hood of her car as I rammed into her. God damn it. I'm right back in that moment. And by the look in her eyes, she knows it. It makes me angry that she's trying to tease me when she knows that can't happen again. It shouldn't have happened last time. But that night was so fucked up, and the way she pressed her tits against my bare chest. Fuck, I'm still a man. I stand with my legs wide, hoping for some relief, and cross my arms over my chest. Part of me wants to run over to the sink and grab a handful of Gojo, the obnoxious hand cleaner every mechanic knows, just to clean up a little. I fight that thought down, knowing it's the weak side of me that I can't let her see. What? My voice is ice, obviously rude and dismissive. I see her flinch, just a tightening in the corners of her eyes, but it still stings. TJ's head snaps to me, and he gives me an incredulous look.
What the fuck, man?
He turns back to Michaela, ever the well-mannered brother and business owner.
Sorry. I'm sure what he meant to say was, "Hi, Michaela, how are you today?" But he's damn near incapable of anything more than grunts sometimes.
You've probably figured that out for yourself already, though. Michaela answers, but her eyes don't leave mine.
Don't worry, TJ. I've gotten used to your brother's grunting. I'm actually quite adept at decoding grunts and reading between the lines of a single-word response.
I'm not sure if that's supposed to be a threat, a tease at the grunts I made as I fucked her, or a promise. But it makes me a little uncomfortable that maybe she can see right through me. If I'm honest with myself, it also makes me a little happy that maybe she's made of tougher stuff than I give her credit for, because most women would have already jumped and run away from my grumpy ass. She's stuck around, and that's something that means more to me than it does to most people. Michaela gives TJ a flirtatious smile, and I have a flash of jealousy, wanting her eyes on me and me only.
For example, in Evan's case, what means, I wasn't expecting you, what are you doing here? And what do you want? All rolled up into one word. And since it was more grunt than growl, it means he's happy to see me, even if he doesn't want to be happy about it.
As she talks, I see a look of shocked humor form on TJ's face.
Damn, bro. I think she's got you damn near pinned. I guess I'll, leave you two to it.
He walks back into the office, closing the door behind him and leaving us alone. I grab a rag from my toolbox, wiping off the worst of the grime on my hands as Michaela watches me, an amused little smirk on her luscious lips.
How'd I do? Am I fluent in Evanese?
I don't want to admit that she's pretty much spot on, so I turn and go back to the car, leaning over it and peering inside like it'll tell me what to do here. It's a little scary, actually, how much she can read me like a book. No matter what I try and do, she's just able to break through my defenses like they're tissue paper. Michaela sighs and sets down the container she's been holding on top of my toolbox, shaking her head.
I just wanted to say thank you again for the other night.
I grin, but it's intentionally feral. A last-ditch attempt to try and push her away. It's a habit that's hard to break. You're thanking me for giving you a good fuck with baked goods. That's a new one. I expect her to be turned off by my crudeness. Hell, I'm hoping for it. But she grins back. Her eyes are sparkling as she runs a finger over the box, a slight show of nervousness that I haven't seen from her before.
Nope. These are for the car wash. If I was thanking you for the fuck, I'd have to buy a whole damn truckload of cookies. But I think I rocked your world just as much as you did mine. Or am I wrong?
I chuckle, surprised at her response once again. No matter what I try to say to get her to leave me the fuck alone, she just takes it in stride and shoots it right back at me like I verbally lobbed it at her. In some ways, it's sexier than her taste in clothing. And I'm about ready to see if she'd look good doggy style over Fast Eddie's Mustang as it is. Point taken. Michaela opens the box before I can get myself in trouble, knowing she's made her point.
What's your poison? I didn't know, so I got a variety.
I walk over to look inside the box and see that she's right. There's like 10 different kinds of cookies in here. There's a great little cafe called Mindy's Place down by the university. Not a place I often go, but they supposedly get a lot of good reviews. I reach for one with a bit of chocolate icing on top, and she smacks my hand. My eyes snap to hers as I feel the fire of anger spark inside my belly. Michaela, though, isn't deterred one bit.
Your hands are filthy. Go wash up. Or if you want, just open up and I'll feed it to you.
I hear the challenge in her words. But she did give me a choice, letting me be in charge even as she orders me around. Smart woman. I resume my fuck-off stance, crossing my arms over my chest and glaring at her to show my displeasure. But I do as she asks, opening my mouth. I fucking open my jaw and let her slip the cookie into my mouth. I bite down, making sure I just nip the edge of her thumb. She doesn't react, letting her thumb rest against my lips until I start chewing, tasting her along with the cookie. I know for damn sure that it's the best cookie ever. As I chew, she pops the other half of the cookie into her mouth, making sure to lick the tender spot on her thumb, her eyes never leaving mine. My cock, which hasn't softened one bit, makes a warning twitch. And I know pretty soon that I'm going to have a drop of pre-cum drying in my denim, as much as she's turning me on.
Pretty good. Rose told me about this place that she said was the best in the country. Guess she was right.
She grabs another cookie, a smaller one with powdered sugar, and eats it in one bite. But it leaves a bit of white dust all over her pink lips. Fuck, I want to lick it off her lips. That's it. I'm going to have to start wearing underwear just to make sure I'm ready for her. I watch as her tongue peeks out, licking her lips to clean them. I don't stand a fucking chance. She knows exactly what she's doing to me. I wanted that one. She looks up at me from under her lashes, daring me to take what we both know I really want.
Well, I already ate it. But if you want a taste...
She lifts her chin toward me, offering her lips in a challenge.
There might be a little bit left.
With a growl, I pounce on her, pressing her back against the nearby bench with my body and caging her in with arms on either side. To cover her lips with mine, tasting the sweet sugar as I lick the seam of her lips. She opens and I dive inside her, our tongues tangling as we fight for control of the kiss. I won't let her have it, but she's not going to give it to me either. I'm going to have to earn it with this woman, which just turns me on all the more. She's got fire and steel in her center, probably the reason she's able to put up with my shit and fire right back at me. I feel her hands trace down my chest, following and scratching the lines of my abs down to my jeans. I know she can feel my throbbing hardness against her body, and while I know what she wants to do, I'm unable to stop her. Without breaking our kiss, she unbuckles my belt and unbuttons my jeans, sliding a hand inside. I try and pull back in a desperate attempt to stop this before we spin totally out of control. But when her soft hand wraps around my rock-hard cock, All thought flies out of my brain, and I groan, lost in the sensation as she moves up and down my length. I'm already slick with pre-cum, and Michaela moans as she pumps my shaft.
Evan, you don't know just how much I've missed this fucking monster. And now is how I really repay you for giving me the fucking of a lifetime the other night.
She keeps pumping my cock until I'm moving too, pushing myself into her tight fist as she works me, rubbing across the head every few strokes to spread the pre-cum down my shaft. I can't last long, but we don't have a lot of time anyway. TJ could be back any second, and it's still business hours after all. Michaela moves down to kneel, her hand never pausing its rhythm. I look down at the sexiest sight I think I've ever seen, this strong woman on her knees for me, and warn her desperately, "Princess." Michaela shakes her head, missing my point as she looks up into my eyes.
"Do yourself a favor and just shut up. I want this."
She lowers her voice, licking her lips.
"And admit it, you want it too."
I have half a thought to argue, but before I can speak, she swirls around my head with the flat of her tongue, and all argument turns into a long moan. She takes more and more of my cock in, one excruciating inch at a time, drawing out my pleasure, making me wait even though I want to just shove my cock deep in her throat and see how she likes that. I grip the edge of the bench, my fingers digging into the rolled steel, and praying I get a chance to finish this before someone breaks us up. After too many bobs to count, she's finally got my entire cock sucked deep into her mouth, her nose nestled in the short curls at the base, and she hums. I jerk, almost instantly going over the edge, but she grabs my hips and holds me there, not letting me go. She gets into a new rhythm, sucking up to the head with a swirl as she looks up at me, then back down deep for a hum. It's all I can do not to grab her hair, but I don't want to get grease all over those sexy pink curls with my dirty hands, so I squeeze the workbench so tightly my knuckles are white. After minutes of her glorious torture, she pulls back and looks up at me.
"Evan, fuck my face. Come down my throat."
I adjust my feet, giving me a better angle, and she takes me back into the hot wetness of her mouth. "Fuck, princess. Are you sure?" I ask. She gives a noise of agreement. Well, I hope it's agreement. But it does me in. I lose control, using my leverage on the table to pound into her mouth with all the power I have. She meets me stroke for stroke, swallowing me down her throat. I watch my cock disappear into her mouth, her eyes looking up to watch me from the shadows, totally giving in to me. I'm so focused, I almost miss it when her hands move, one to cup and massage my balls. But the other one, she slips into her shorts, and I feel her hum of satisfaction as she finds her pussy, and judging by her motions, starts rubbing her clit. I grin, knowing I can hold out a little longer, and wanting to please this sexy minx at my feet. "Are you wet, princess? Does letting me fuck your face turn you on?" She nods, never losing pace. "You don't come till I do, okay? When I come down your pretty little throat, you come with me, but not before." She looks at me with challenge in her eyes, and her hand movements get a little faster. "Holy fuck, Michaela. You are perfect." "Fuck." I hammer into her for a few strokes, and I'm a goner. "Now, princess, swallow me down. Come for me. Now." I explode down her throat, and while she gags a little at the forceful stream, she keeps swallowing, only losing a dribble down her chin. At the same time, her hips buck against her hand as she rides out her own orgasm. With a sigh, she sits back onto her heels, taking her hand out of her shorts.
"Well, I came here hoping to get one up on you. And there you go, making me come again."
I grin, seeing the glistening on her fingers. a sudden thirst parching my throat. I want to taste you. I expect her to reach her juicy hand up to me, but I should have known better with Michaela. She takes her fingers to her own mouth, licking them clean as I stare at her in amazement. She reaches out for me, and I offer her my hand, helping her stand up. Once she's standing back in the cage of my arms, she kisses me, and I can taste her musky sweetness on her tongue. God damn this woman. She ducks out of my arms and walks a few steps away before turning.
So, thanks again for the car wash. I'm ready to go for another ride whenever you are. I'll give you a call later, and we can plan on when.
She steps out of the garage into the sunshine. I stand slack-jawed and confused about what the fuck just happened for a split second, before I get my jeans adjusted properly. Damned if I'll be standing here with my cock out in broad daylight, regardless of what just happened. TJ steps back out of the office as I do up the last button with a smirk.
Hey, bro. Maybe it's your thing, but you might want to close the garage door next time. I'm sure half of Main Street just saw your little cookie snack.
I cut my eyes at him, a momentary flash of pissed off sparking through me. But then I realize that would probably be some fucked up shit if someone did see, and he's right. Besides, he did just let me get my rocks off during business hours, and he waited inside the office long enough to give me enough privacy to finish up. Yeah, yeah, whatever you say, boss. We both laugh as we look across the street, seeing Michaela almost to the salon. I spot the greasy dark mark along her arm where I helped her stand up. I'm afraid there might be some symbolism there. Something deep about me leaving my dirty stain on something so clean and pristine, ruining her. But before I can give it too much thought, I turn and get back to work.
Chapter 17, Michaela. It worked, I think, as I lean against my workstation, sipping a glass of wine and sighing happily. It fucking worked like a charm. Brad, you're a fucking genius, even though I'll never tell you as much, I say as I give an invisible toast to the man who's gone over to the resort today to handle some paperwork with Brianna and to take a look at their spa facilities. He told me yesterday to just do a little seduction routine, give Evan a cookie trail to follow. But of course, I amped it up just a bit. I can't help it. If I see something I want, I go after it. It was so good. So fucking good. Even better than the cookies. And when sex is better than chocolate... I've been smiling all afternoon, remembering with a buzz of excitement just how powerful I felt as he fucked my mouth. I know some women don't like that, but I've always found it to be the biggest rush to drive a guy so crazy that they lose control. In that moment, even though I'm the one on my knees getting face-fucked, I'm also the one with the power to drive him to that brink. And the kiss afterward? Holy hell, it took all I had to walk away with just a pull on the fishing line. Just enough to tease. I dropped him a text afterward, so now it's his turn to chase. My fingers are crossed that he takes the bait like a champ. I left what happens next in his hands when I told him I was ready to ride whenever he was. I'm sure my customers were wondering what was up today, but they didn't say anything as I practically floated through the last two appointments of the afternoon, along with a walk-in cut. Now I'm virtually dancing by myself as I clean up the salon, almost ready for closing time for the day. Behind me, I hear the door chimes as someone enters. I turn with a big smile. Welcome to the Triple B Salon. My greeting is cut short, and my smile falters when I see it's Jackson, but I try to keep a friendly face on. Hello, Jackson. He smiles, coming inside, grinning ear to ear. Hey, Michaela! I came by to see how everything's going, but that smile says it all. Business must be booming, I take it. I'm cool, but trying to be professional. Yeah, it's going great, Jackson. Just checking in? I'm hoping he says yes, that he's here in some city council role and not his usual. An invitation to a council meeting. Keys to the city. Hell, I'm late on paying the sewer bill. I just want him out of the salon ASAP. Why does he keep coming in at closing? I wish I could just bluntly tell him to get out. Maybe if I start humming that song about closing time, he'd get the message. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. No fucking dice. He runs a hand through his hair, standing tall as he walks over, shrugging off his suit jacket. Thought I'd take you up on that offer of a haircut, if you have time. It crosses my mind to tell him no, that I don't have time to do it today, and we're just too close to closing time to give him the attention he deserves. The honest truth is, I just don't want to. But I glance around the empty salon, knowing that it's all clean and I'm done for the day, and recognize that it'll be awkward if I say no. He's got power in this town, at least the kind that can make life difficult for me. Giving in to the inevitable, I relent, gesturing to the chair closest to me. Sure, I've got just enough time before the end of the day. Come on back and I'll wash everything out before I cut it. I turn to lead the way to the salon chair, and giving him my back makes me feel vulnerable somehow. I pick up the pace to the hair washing station just a little faster than normal. I try to dismiss it and get myself under control. I'm not sure if it's that I'm a bit jaded from years of living in LA with its associated craziness, or having a gross fucking prank pulled on me. But Jackson hasn't done anything that could have me feeling this way. I turn around the shampoo chair and he lowers into it, his eyes quickly dipping to my cleavage but immediately coming back to meet mine as he sits. I turn him back around and lean him back, spreading the cape that I use for men's cuts over his upper body. I move behind him to the bowl, out of his sightline, as I take the sprayer, adjusting the water temperature before I start to get his hair wet. How's that? Perfect, he says, his voice a little raspy, and I quickly wrap up wetting him down before reaching over and grabbing the organic coconut oil-based shampoo we use and massaging it into his scalp. The squelching noise of the suds is the only sound as I lightly massage his hair and scalp like I always do, just trying to get through all the shit he's got in his hair. Spray, gel, wax. I'm not sure, could be plaster. But Jackson's the sort of guy who makes sure that at work, his hair is fucking sculpted. He fidgets a little. That feels great. I like the way the shampoo smells too. It's nothing I haven't heard before when shampooing, but a little awkward from a guy who's asked me out at least twice already. Still, I try to be cool. We've gotten some good feedback from people who have bought it for home. I love it myself. It's good on all types of hair. I bet, Jackson says as I start to rinse out the bubbles. So, how are you liking town? It's definitely different from LA, but I'm finding that this place has a lot of charm. I admit, not saying that the thing I find most charming is probably under the hood of a car across the street. Business going well? Jackson asks as I towel his hair dry and sit him up. I'm meeting a lot of folks around town, I reply, relaxing at his casual tone. It's just normal small talk, and it starts to feel more comfortable, less strained. We've got a good start. Not quite there yet, but I'm feeling good about things. That's great, Jackson says. It sounds like he's genuinely happy about our good start, and I mentally chastise myself for being so harsh on him. Yeah, so he asked me out a few times, but at least one was poor timing, and the drink thing was probably an overreaction on my part. This is small-town USA, not Hollyweird. Besides, when I think about it, Jackson's definitely done less chasing than I've been doing with Evan. I can't really fault him for a swing and a miss when the only thing he's really done wrong is be a nice guy, who might be a little awkward in asking me out. He can't help that I'm just not into nice guys, and that can throw a lot of guys off. At least he had the guts to try. Squeezing out the last of the dampness with a hand towel that I wrap around his neck, I guide him over to my salon chair, fixing the long cape over him and adjusting it to include the towel. Satisfied with his setup, I pick up my shears and comb, looking at him in the mirror. All right, just a trim or something more. What are we doing today? Jackson looks me in the eye in the mirror, giving me a smile.
That feels like a loaded question. Look.
He turns from the mirror and meets my eyes face to face.
Just wanted to make sure there's no awkwardness between us. You're a great woman, and I wanted to welcome you to town. No harm, no foul. I hope we can be friends at least.
I scan his face and realize that despite my misgivings, he's right. He hasn't tried to do anything more than offer a friendly face in a new town. And goodness knows I can relate to pursuing someone who interests you a bit. I doubt Jackson's put on hot pants and drawn anyone into a blowjob recently, though. I decide, yeah, he'll get one more chance. I'd like that. You can never have too many friends. Brad and I are pretty much it for each other right now. He's my brother from another mother, so we've always depended on friends to round out our group. But we're both pretty damn hard to take in big doses, and when we're together, it takes a special kind of person to put up with both of us at once. I laugh because it's the God's honest truth. Jackson laughs along with me.
Well, I'll have to keep that in mind. I'll just need to be on my A-game for you two.
The tension from before has faded, and I finish Jackson's haircut as we talk. He makes me laugh with stories of the cast of characters in this part of town, which seems to attract some of the more off-the-wall folks. I roll at his impersonation of Earl, who runs the agricultural supply store, even though I haven't met him yet. Talk about the new sporting goods store that's hoping to take advantage of the uptick in tourists heading out toward the resort. And I blush a bit when he asks if I've had the cookies from Mindy's place.
The city council's made a cookie run from time to time for our meetings.
No way, Jackson laughs.
Yeah, shh. It's an interesting place. I still can't get past the fact it used to be a Chinese restaurant, but they are damn good cookies.
Interesting. Yep, those cookies sure can lead to some interesting experiences. Most delicious cookies I've ever had, I say without elaborating. When I have free time, I might check out the rest of their menu, even if they are on the other end of town. It would be great to have someone like Jackson to grease the skids with some of the other places in town. Someone who knows the good old boys and is willing to put in a good word with the right people. But more than that, it's just a happier feeling at my core as we settle into our new hometown.
Chapter 18. Evan. It's late, probably close to 1 in the morning, and I can't sleep. I lie in bed for a long time, tossing and turning. Drifting off for a moment only to startle awake seconds later by voices I know aren't real, but still whisper to me about my sins. Even using one of the other refugees from my army days, an old rough blanket that stretched over quite a few beds a lot like this one, can't help. Giving up, I pace the floor, dropping every few laps to pump out push-ups in a failed attempt to center my mind. I'm home. I'm safe. There is no threat. I play the mantra on repeat in my mind, over and over, trying to get it to sink in and feel true. But no matter how much my brain tries to believe it, my body fights it. Outside the window, I can see the night. Out there is my enemy. And my enemy wants my blood, the voices say. I can't see them because they always know how to blend in like mythical ninjas out of a movie. Every person could be the one who has a bomb around their waist, or an AK behind their back. My heart racing, sweat on my brow, and a coiled spring of aggression ready in my belly. I give up. I need to get out, get away. Just like always, I know what I need to do. I pull on some jeans, dirty from the floor, but I don't care, and grab a black t-shirt from the top of the clean pile. Pulling on my boots, I tie them quickly before heading down the back stairs to the garage. The grinding of the door rollers over the sand that invariably gets in the track is loud, but my bike will be even louder. The neighbors will be pissed, but there's nothing I can do about that because I have to ride. Now. I thumb the ignition on my Harley before tweaking the throttle up to a growling roar. Then I let it drop down to a relatively gentle purr and pull forward slowly, just getting out the door. I press the button to lower and lock the garage, ready to ride. Zipping up my jacket, I turn onto Main Street toward the mountains. I see Michaela's light turn on above the salon, bright in the dark sky, and the blinds move. I can't hear her knock on the glass, but I see her wave, and then she holds up one finger. I'm tempted to roll out anyway, but something makes me hang a hard right and pull into the Triple B's parking lot and wait. I don't have to wait long. In what seems like a second after she waved, she's coming out the front door of the salon, pulling on boots with her romper pajamas. She's barefaced, her hair wild with sleep, wearing what basically equates to a sweet onesie and combat boots. It should be ridiculous. I should be laughing my ass off, but to me she's never looked more beautiful. Without a word, she climbs on the back and wraps her arms around me, and we're off like a shot. How does she do it? I wasn't going out for her tonight. I just needed to clear my head. But there she was, ready to ride with me without a moment's notice, or even a word spoken. This time, though, I turn toward the highway, avoiding the high elevation of the mountains for her sake. It's chilly enough. Up in the mountains, it'll get frigid. Fun for me to see what that could do to her nipples. But not so fun what it'd do to the rest of her. We ride for what seems like hours. No destination in mind. Just letting the asphalt stretch out under the wheels. The moon rides with us in the clear black velvet sky, rising to its peak before cresting and starting to descend. As Michaela holds on to me, peace settles into my bones from her touch. She's an easy rider, an extension of the bike and my body, just leaning and riding without fighting the flow. And it feels good to have her hands wrapped around me, her body pressed to my back, grounding me to the here and now, helping me fight back the demon's hold on my night. Somewhere over an hour west of town, I pull over at an all-night truck stop for gas. As soon as I turn off the bike, she hops off. Doing a little squirmy dance, she announces, "Gotta pee. Need anything inside?" I laugh out loud, just unable to wrap my head around the fact that after hours of riding, what she says is, "Gotta pee. Need anything?" This woman amazes me. "Nope," I say after a moment. "I'm good." With a smirk and a saucy little salute, she turns, strutting inside like she's not wearing pink pajamas in the middle of the night with a biker, in the sticks of God knows where. While she's inside, I swipe my card and fill up my bike, letting the tank guzzle the high-test goodness. I know. The engine runs just fine on regular. But I like to baby my bike. When the pump clicks off, I put the nozzle away before mounting my bike and leaning back, letting the welcome but unfamiliar sensation that Michaela seems to create sweep through me. Perched on my bike, I stare up to the stars and let the cool air filter through my lungs. It's hard to believe that these are the same stars, the same sky I saw as a kid when TJ and I would sleep outside in our treehouse. Back then it was all so easy. We'd spend hours pretending we were pirates, using the bright lights to navigate to our riches. We always found the riches too, considering Mom would pack a midnight snack for us every time and leave it in the treehouse before she went to bed herself. Fuck gold. Fuck diamonds. Back then, give me a grilled peanut butter and banana sandwich any day. I sigh wistfully, remembering back to the happy, innocent days before another memory creeps in. Looking up at these same stars, I recall as I stood guard in some windswept village that might have had just as many enemies inside the perimeter as outside, and night movements where we had to navigate to targets instead of treasure, although the army pretty much considered them one and the same. Back then, the stars were a bitter comfort, a normalcy of home in a place that was far from it. I always preferred the night for the nasty missions. It's just a little easier on the soul to do ugly things under the cover of night than in the bright lights and scrutiny of the sunshine. I shake my head, letting the past slip away as Michaela walks out of the store. With the light surrounding her, I can see her better, and I realize that the romper is likely all she has on. Her nipples peaked up beneath the thin top and not a panty line in sight below. Is it bad that I want to order her to do a spin for me? Show me a little jiggle of her unrestrained ass? Probably. But fuck it. She knows I've got a bad side to me. Turn around. Michaela stops, her head tilting like she didn't hear me.
You'll have to be a little more specific. Turn around and go back inside the store? Turn around and do a fucking pirouette? Do I look like a damn ballerina in this getup? Turn around.
She trails off, and I realize that for all her sass, she really doesn't know what I want. If anything, it turns me on more, giving her an innocence that has my cock throbbing in my jeans. Turn around and let me see your ass. Michaela's eyes sparkle as her lips twitch in a sex-laced smirk that just makes this whole scene in front of me surreal, and at the same time, arousing as hell.
Well, why didn't you say so?
She turns around, leaning forward a little to stick her ass out, her head turning back, watching my every move. Shaking her hips back and forth, I can see the outline of her pussy lips against the fabric of her pajamas. She gasps in arousal as she spanks the bottom of her ass with her palm, a nice smack sounding out in the quiet parking lot. I can't stand it anymore. I have to satisfy my curiosity. And maybe something else. Princess, you got anything on underneath that jumper? Michaela turns back, a fake innocent act all over her face.
Oh, this thing? What's underneath this thin little pink romper? Well, nothing, I guess. Just me. All me.
She drives me fucking crazy. Get over here, I growl, reaching out a hand. When she's close enough, I realize how tiny she is without her usual sky-high heels. I grab her, picking her up and setting her down in front of me, straddling me and the bike but backward, her legs lying on top of mine. I can feel the warmth of her body through the thin cotton of her pajamas and the curve of her ass as my bike pushes it up into my palms. She hugs me, arms on my shoulders to keep from falling, but I've got her. She's not going anywhere. Knowing that a gas pump is not the place for this, I fire up my bike only long enough to pull over into the far edge of the parking lot, where the lights are low, and we'll have a bit of privacy at least. I grab her shoulders from behind, laying her back over the gas tank and handlebars, and she looks up at me, the stars reflecting in her eyes. This might be my favorite view of the sky ever. But I don't tell her that. Michaela runs a hand down my chest before reaching over and tweaking my left nipple hard.
I'm not fucking you in a truck stop parking lot. I'm not a lot lizard.
I laugh despite the pain, pulling her up to press her luscious body against me again, grinning. How does a girl like you even know what that is? She smirks and kisses the tip of my nose.
I'm not one to kiss and tell, but remember? Prince, Vegas, T teenage years?
I chuckle and kiss her lips again. You're right. But let's get one thing straight. If I wanted to fuck you right here in this parking lot, I damn sure fucking would. I pause, looking at her fiercely, daring her to disagree. But she stays silent. Instead, she looks at me with a type of brave, vulnerable intensity that says she's serious. She doesn't want to, but at the same time, she won't tell me no. It decides it for me. She's better than a parking lot. But I'm not. This time. Michaela smiles, relaxing at my acquiescence and laying back out over the gas tank, her head resting against the handlebars. I begin mindlessly tracing my fingertips up her legs, from her ankle to her knee bent over my thigh, and up her inner thigh just shy of her pussy, where I tease her, knowing she wants more. I do it over and over again, and finally she breaks the silence.
What happened tonight?
I'm silent for a minute, not sure if I'm going to answer, but something compels me to. Just a bad night. Sometimes I can't sleep and the memories get to me. I hate sleeping pills. So I tried to work out, tried to relax. But sometimes riding is the only thing that works. She nods her head, thinking for a minute.
Stuff from when you were in the military? Those kinds of bad memories?
I don't want to talk about it. It only dredges it all up again. So I distract myself with the sensation of her soft skin under my fingertips. Yeah, missions and stuff. I did some fucked up shit in the name of following orders and protecting my country. It's hard to deal with that. It's just dirty and ugly on my soul. I'm foobarred from the inside out. My fingers trace up her legs again, dipping into her loose shorts to find the wet, warm edge of her pussy. I stroke her puffy lips slowly, moving up to loop gentle circles around her clit. She gasps, trying to writhe, but I stop her with a press of my hands. Be still, or we'll fall over. I've got you, but don't move. I go back to rubbing, slipping a finger into her pussy and rubbing her clit with my thumb, smearing her juices around her pleasure center in light circles. She's unfocused on the conversation, lost in pleasure. But she tries to continue, her eyes widening as I curl my fingers and rub her G-spot.
I don't think you're foobard. Fucked up, maybe. But not beyond all repair.
I speed my fingers up, and she moans lightly, her hands clutching at my shoulders as I study her beautiful face. It's nice you think that way, but make no mistake, princess. I'm dark inside, barely keeping a lock on my damage to function around all the civilians. Michaela arches her back a little, bringing her cotton-covered nipples closer to the dark sky as she tries to keep herself under control.
I think I like you just the way you are.
I laugh harshly, but it's not in humor. It's because I know she's wrong, despite being innocent inside. I stroke her G-spot a little harder and flick her clit with my thumb, knowing that if I were really a decent man, I wouldn't be making her break her word about not fucking me in a parking lot right now. I may not be balls deep in her, but I'm certain her earlier declaration has been blown to bits with my fingers plunging in and out of her tight pussy. She cries out in pleasure, and I lick my lips before rasping. You like me a little dangerous, princess? You think you're safe with me? Safe from my damage? Think again. With no warning, I shove a third finger into her pussy, curling it forward to her front wall, making her come instantly and violently. I hold the bike steady by locking my legs on either side as her whole body tenses and shudders as she groans my name. I keep teasing that spot until she fights back, begging for mercy. What makes me stop isn't her words, though, but seeing the trickle of tears down her cheeks, because she's lost so much control. I know they're tears of pleasure, but I can't stand to see Michaela cry, so I withdraw them, licking them clean before holding her close and letting her know she's okay. After she settles back down, she looks up at me with a wild light in her eyes, relieving any worries I may have. It makes me fucking proud that I did that to her. Brought out her own little touch of wildness, even if that's just another sign that I'm fucked up.
Hey, you ever seen a shrink for that?
She asks in a light, casually airy voice. I growl, instantly pissed off because countless fuckers have told me to see a shrink. But I had enough of army shrinks. Besides, I'm not a fucking pussy. No, I don't fucking need to see a shrink. You think I'm crazy now, too? She grabs my hand, pressing it against her chest, where I can feel her heart beating. And it makes me feel like shit.
Evan, I'm from L.A. Everyone has a shrink. It's no big deal. You need help? You get help. Around there, it was the people not seeing a shrink you had to watch, because you knew they were fucked up and weren't getting help.
Her casualness about it swirls inside me. I thought she understood, at least a little bit. But no, she's just like everyone else. She thinks I'm some pet project that can be fixed with a little jabber-jawing. How can I explain how it feels to be the cause of an innocent civilian losing their life? Or to hear your friends screaming for their mothers as their lifeblood bled out to someone who has never put themselves any closer to danger than maybe going jet skiing one time during their honeymoon in the Keys, probably while wearing a helmet, wetsuit, and life vest. No. Shrinks can't help me. I know I'm fucked up. But talking about it sure isn't gonna fix the shit I did or the stains on my soul. I don't answer. The walls that had cracked mere minutes ago going solid once again. I help her get back on the bike behind me and head home. It's going to be a long-ass ride if we're going to get her home by sunrise.
Chapter 19. Michaela. Mental note, I think to myself as I hold on to Evan while we thunder down the highway. Evan is fucking mental about shrinks. I don't get it. I wasn't bullshitting Evan when I said almost everyone I knew in L.A. had seen a shrink at one time or another. Hell, even I did back when I had a rough patch after a breakup where I'd started having some after effects. But I'm damn sure not telling Evan about that now. I can feel the tension through his body. And it makes me sad because he feels just as wound up as when we started this ride, not like the relaxed guy he'd been when we pulled up at the truck stop. I was hopeful that it was the ride with me, not just the ride, that had helped him chill. It was why I climbed on the bike, even as I knew I was naked under my pajamas. We were making so much progress. He was being playful and being commanding and everything I could ever think that Evan can be. But I should have known it wouldn't be that easy. Every conversation is like a damn minefield, never quite knowing where to step and what's going to set him off. If I'm honest with myself, and my long-ago shrink demanded that I always try to be, the drama is a little exciting. Not that I pissed him off, I feel bad about that, but that I'm still learning his triggers. It's kind of like a dance, really. I don't want to always be the one to push his buttons, but the process of learning them, so I know how to traverse the path to his heart without getting hit by shrapnel, sounds like a pretty damn sweet reward. He thinks he's a big, scary man, too much for little old me, and used to girls running off at the first sign of trouble. Maybe that's what happened in the past. But with me, he's got another thing coming. I like his growling, rude, asshole ways because they make the sweet things he sometimes says and the nice things he sometimes does all the better because they're rare. Not to mention that it seems he really only does and says those things with me, which feels pretty damn special. It's a long ride back. But I try to relax into the twists and turns of the road enjoying the time on the powerful beast beneath me with the monster in front of me. My pussy is aching with a need for more than Evan's fingers, but I know it's not going to happen tonight. It's got to be close to 4 in the morning when we roar up in front of the salon. Evan pulls in, letting me climb off after he turns the Harley off. The sky is still pitch black, and now the street is still and silent. Still, I can sense that dawn's going to be coming soon. There's the same tense silence that seems to fall when the night owls have gone to bed and the early birds aren't quite up yet. He throws a leg over and stands, reaching into his chest pocket for a cigarette and lighter. I'm quiet, still deciding how to roll with this. I don't like the smoking, but it's the least of the issues he's got to deal with. With a grin, I decide balls to wall is the right play, or at least I hope it is. You're an asshole. You know that, Evan? One corner of his lips tilts up. Maybe a snarl, maybe a smile. It's too early to tell yet. But so far, it seems like a good opening move.
You sound surprised, but I never said otherwise, princess.
He called me princess. That means I'm making progress. He only does that when he's trying to playfully piss me off. My inner bitch starts jumping up and down and clapping, and it's time to push the line just a little more. But it's a front. Did you know that? I smile at him like I have it all figured out. Maybe I do, at least a little. Once upon a time, you were a nice guy. Then some shitty things happened to you, and you did some shitty things to other people. It hurt, and it's still hurting you. So you, in all of your infinite self-awareness, in case you couldn't tell, that was sarcasm. You somehow decided that the best way to keep from hurting was to shut down and close yourself off. That way, you wouldn't be hurt anymore and you wouldn't hurt anyone else. No risk. But do you know the problem with that? I pause and I can see the fire in his eyes as he listens to my rant. When I see he's not trying to come back at me, I continue. The problem with that is that it doesn't work. You know what happens with no risk? No reward. And guess what, genius? You're still hurting, and you're still hurting other people. By being an asshole, you're hurting your brother, who just wants to talk to you again without fear that something he says will set you off. You're hurting people around town, who just want to be your friends. And you're hurting me. You think I'm some weak little woman who would be scared by what's inside you? Newsflash. I'm not little, and I'm damn sure not weak. And what you need... I take a big breath. This is gonna go spectacularly. Well, either spectacularly like sparkly fireworks, or spectacularly like a racing forest fire. What you need is a woman who is strong enough to put up with your shit and call you on it when need be, but be a soft place for you to land when you need that. And I don't see a line of women with those attributes asking you to make them yours. So you'd better figure it out really damn fast what you're hoping for here. My chest is heaving as my heart races. I'm definitely taking a risk here, so I hope there's a reward in it for me. There's barely a second of question in the air before he covers my mouth with his, demanding entry and taking over my world with his kiss. I instantly melt into him, kissing him back and letting him know I'm just what I said I was. I'll call him on his shit, but I'll also be soft when he needs me to be. Evan lets go of me but brings his face down even with mine, growling at me, threatening.
You think you can handle me?
I nod, biting my lip as I turn and unlock the door. It swings open and he shoves me inside, closing and locking it behind him. In the darkness of the salon, he's outlined by the street lamp outside as he shrugs off his jacket, his eyes glowing greenish-red in the faint glow from the LEDs on my computer and phone. He stalks me toward a bench near the makeup area, giving orders this time and not taking disobedience for an answer.
Hands and knees, princess. You think I'm fucked in the head, but you can take it. I'm gonna show you how fucked up I am. And you're gonna scream my name, either to get away from me, or because maybe you can handle